Monday, 25 April 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church, located in New Bern, North Carolina. And I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. I apologize for my congestion. I won't go into this again and again and again, but I do have breathing problems and so forth. And dear friend, I apologize for my voice being so raspy and so forth. But I'll tell you, we got some scripture to share with you today that I believe will bless your heart. Father, bless us now with thy word. Speak to my heart and hearts of all of our listeners. We pray, oh, may the love of Christ be so real in our hearts and lives. And Father, we thank thee. We thank thee that we love thee because thou didst first love us. In Jesus' name, amen. On the last broadcast, we were looking at some comments by Mr. Charles Spurgeon and by Alfred Barnes. These were commentators, scholars in the Word of God. Most of you know Mr. Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers. And of course, Mr. Barnes was well known. He was has quite a reputation, he did, for being a scholar in the Scriptures. I enjoy reading after these men. Can glean a whole lot. I heard somebody say one time that his preaching was like a man churning butter. He said that he gets his milk from different sources, but he said he puts it in the churn and churns it, and out comes the butter. And that's the way I do. I'm a gleaner. I like to learn. I like to study the Word of God. I like to read after some of these godly men who have studied the Word of God, and I can glean from them and put it together and trust that God will make the butter. Old Dr. John R. Rice used to use that statement. He would say something, and then he would say something like, "Now that will make the butter, won't it? That will bring the butter." Our Father, again, we pray in Jesus' name, bless hearts through thy scripture today. In his name, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have come a long ways in this study from the book of Ezekiel, where the Lord would bring Ezekiel back from captivity and bring him back to Jerusalem and show him why God had to send the children of Israel into captivity. And that has taken us into Revelation chapters 2 and 3, to the letters to the churches there in Asia Minor. And we have looked at several of these churches. Now we're looking at the church at Philadelphia. And what a tremendous testimony that church had. I love their testimony that God himself gave to them. They had a little strength. They were not known to be these big, strong people. They had a little strength. But they had kept the Word of God, and they had not denied the faith. And dear friend, if the church at Philadelphia can do that, if the brethren at Philadelphia can do that, by God's grace, we can as well. The writer of Proverbs said, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." I read that verse, I said, that's me right there. I might have small faith, but I tell you, I've got a strong God, and I thank the Lord for him. And I don't get up and snap my religious suspenders and boast about what I'm going to do. I would probably find myself in the same situation that Peter found himself in after he so boastfully said that he would never, ever deny the Lord. But I do know this, with the grace of God, we can stand and we can do what he would have us to do, and we can receive from him, and we do receive from him when we trust him, his love, and we can radiate that love, or we can be a channel for that love to others as well. And that brought us into 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 has a lot to say about our suffering, that we're not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial that's going to try us as though some strange thing happened to us. Chapter starts out with using a parallel with the Lord Jesus Christ and exhorting us to consider him who had suffered so much. And in this great chapter on suffering and preparing God's people for suffering, we come, as it were, to the top of the hill. And 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, "And the Spirit of God leads Peter to write this, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Did you get that? And above all things, and I believe when the Holy Spirit of God said above all things, he meant all things. And above all things, have fervent charity, fervent love, not just love, but fervent love among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sin. On the last broadcast, I read you a statement by Mr. Spurgeon, and I read you a statement from Mr. Barnes as well. And today, I'd like to read you one more statement by Mr. Alfred Barnes concerning verses 7 and 8 of 1 John chapter 4, and then we'll continue on with our text. First of all, let's look now at our scripture, 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In his introduction to this portion of Scripture, Mr. Barnes wrote this, Beloved, let us love one another. This verse introduces a new topic, the consideration of which occupies the remainder of the chapter. See the analysis. The subject is one on which John dwells more than any other, that of love. His own character peculiarly inclined him to the exercise of love, and the remarkable affection which the Lord Jesus had shown for him seems to have had the effect to give this grace a peculiar prominence in his views of what constituted true religion. In other words, John was a man who loved. You know that when the Lord Jesus Christ had his disciples at the Lord's Supper, it was John that was leaning on his breast. And by the way, John is referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, I know that Jesus loved all of his disciples, and I know that he loves us as well. But God be praised for John the Beloved. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, we read on the last broadcast, beginning in verse 9, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Well, maybe you say, Preacher, that sounds exactly like John 3:16, and you're exactly right. And well, it should. Not only is it the same apostle that the Spirit of God is using to write, but he's writing about the same Father, he's writing about the same Son, he's writing about the same love that caused the Father to send his Son into the world. Let us never, ever get tired of John 3:16. Let's quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, John said this is how God manifested his love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And to that I join you in chorus in saying hallelujah and thank you, Lord. Now, verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Let me just hesitate. I know I read this just recently, but folks, this is powerful. This is tremendous. Here is love. Herein is love. Not lust now, but herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, dear friend, I cannot speak for you, but I can speak for me. I know this. My love for God is not near what I want it to be. I would never compare my love for him with his love for me. I do love him. I do. But here's the great truth. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. You see, dear friend, he came seeking us. He sent his Holy Spirit to convict us and to convince us of our need for him. I'll tell you, men are not going around just trying to find God. It is the Holy Spirit of God that's in this world that is seeking lost sinners. He uses people to carry the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But dear friend, nobody will ever boast about what they did to come to God. We can all boast about what God did to come to us. I don't want to confuse any of you, but listen, salvation is by grace through faith. We love him because he first loved us. If we're saved today, we're saved because God's love reached us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we repented of our sin and trusted Christ as our Savior. God willing, we'll continue this on the next broadcast. Hope you can join us. In the meantime, I trust our Lord be pleased to make each of us a channel of His blessing. Have a wonderful day.